Amen. Let's go quickly to John 3 and John 13. Because we're going to stay the course that God set for us. I'm going to read this and we'll need to do a little illustration. I'm going to need a few people to help me. I hope that's okay. And let's read John 3, verses 16 and 17 together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, John 13, verses 31 to 35, I'm going to share this from the Phillips New Testament. It says, now I am giving you a new command. Love one another just as I have loved you, so you must love one another. This is how all men will know that you are my disciples, because you have such love for one another. At all costs, we have to have such love for one another. Okay. Now we know in Jeremiah 29, God said, I have a purpose and a plan. He said he has a plan to do what? To prosper us. Say, God's plan is to prosper me and not harm me. God's plan gives me a hope, gives me a future. How many of you really believe that? Okay, well, part of God's plan is he said to you, I will give you pastors after my heart. So God has given all of you pastors after his heart for you. That's why it's important that you hear the voice of your pastor or the voice of your shepherd. Those two are interchangeable. Because as we speak, we are speaking God's heart for you. And once you hear and receive God's heart for you, you'll start to realize the plan that he has for you. And not only the plan, but the path that you're to go. Because even though we may have the same destination, we all don't have the same path. Let me do this illustration, if I may. All right? Bill, would you help me? Okay. Emmanuel, would you come help me, please? Martin, would you? Doesn't matter. Just up here. Meet someone from Queens or Long Island. Who we have. Come on, Donna. Okay. Now, Bill, he's our sheep. Okay? I am the shepherd. And he's going to hear my voice giving him some instructions. But then he's going to hear some other voices giving instructions. I'm going to give him instructions on how to get to the George Washington Bridge. And then I want you to tell him. Turn me off. Back on. Okay. So I want you to go to the George Washington Bridge. And what I want you to do is go out of the parking lot, make a right turn on the Route 59. You're going to travel that. You're going to go past some things. You're going to pass the gas station. You're going to pass a mall that has Pathmark in it. You're going to think you'll be going on forever. Stay, just keep going. You'll see a sign that says Palisades Parkway South. You get on the Palisades Parkway South. You'll travel about 22 miles. You'll see the sign for the George Washington Bridge. But when you see the fork, because you're going to come to a fork in the road, I want you to stay to the right because I want you on the upper level. Okay? That's what I want. All right? And so you're going through, and you encounter Martin, and you're saying, yeah, God told me to go to the George Washington Bridge. And then Martin says,
take Route 87 south to exit 15. Then you'll get on Route 15 through Paramus, and you take Route 4 north to the GW Bridge.
Now, he has something to ponder. He's heard from his shepherd, but he's also heard from someone else who's not a stranger to him and is telling him how to get to the George Washington Bridge. So he's still walking around. He comes to another friend of his. He comes to Emmanuel. No, just tell him how to go to the bridge.
Okay, well, first of all, you get to 42nd Street. Okay, you take the A train. Make sure you ride the front of the A train. Okay, you get off at 175th Street, but when you get off at 175th Street, you have to still walk through a tunnel so that you get to 178th Street. Then you come upstairs, okay, and you'll be, when you go outside, as soon as you come upstairs, okay, you'll be at a position where you'll look across the bridge, you'll see the bridge, and you'll be right there at George Washington Bridge. Okay, you got that?
Okay. Okay. And so he's going on. Now, he has the instructions from his shepherd, but he has some other alternatives, and he's trying to work through all of this. Now he encounters Donna.
Okay, you're going to take Roslyn Road north. You can either get on the Northern State Parkway going west or the LIE going west, depending on the traffic. If you take the Northern State west, it's going to turn into Grand Central West when you hit Queens. Okay, you're going to take the Cross Island Parkway north. If that's backed up, you can go to the Clearview North. Okay, over the Throgs Neck Bridge. Then you're going to bear to the left. You're going to get on the Cross Bronx Expressway. When you first get on the Throgs Neck Bridge, there's a sign. You're going to hope for 15 minutes or less to the George Washington Bridge, because sometimes it's an hour and a half. But you're going to take the Cross Bronx to the George Washington Bridge. I want you to stay to the left because I also want you to take the top level.
Okay, how you feel?
Confused.
Why?
Because two of the directions didn't make any sense. Because it's like the point of starting out was somewhere different. I'm here, and it took me way past the bridge to come all the way back. So that made no sense. That's like going backwards to me. The other two directions were clear, but just different routes of going. And I guess it depends on the time frame, how fast I wanted to get there. Mm-hmm. The best route to me was, of course, the first one, taking the Palisades.
But let me ask you this question. Does it depend on what's the fastest route? Or does it depend on the directions you were given from your shepherd?
Directions given from the shepherd.
Right. Thank you. Thank you all. Okay. Yeah. See, folks, and I'm jumping ahead, and it's okay. In one of our automobiles, in the Edge, it has what's called a sync system. And part of that connects to a GPS. And so I just have to hit a button, and it says, services. What services do you want? And I say, directions. All right. And it says, okay, where would you like to go? And I will tell it where I want to go. And the first thing it does is locate me. We need to understand, folks, that God will speak to the shepherd. God will speak to the pastors to give you directions based on where he knows you are. Okay? Because it's very important that you get directions from the proper starting point. every person that spoke gave accurate directions, but they were given directions based on starting from another location. That's why we have to be true. We have to be faithful to who we are. We have to stay planted where God planted us, because that's where we're going to get the accurate directions so that we can reach the destination God has for us. So my sync system will ask, will find out where I am. And then it says, I'm calculating the route. And when it has the route, it'll say, this is the fastest route based on traffic. We need to understand that God's going to give us instructions based on all of the obstacle and things that he knows are out there. Sometimes the instructions are designed for us to avoid them. Sometimes the instructions are designed for us to go through them. Why? Because there is a strength, there is a confidence, there is a faith that we're going to develop while we're going through them. And if we don't follow God's direction, we will avoid them. And then in a time of great testing, we'll come up weak. My sync system will also, it only gives me the first direction. If I'm on the road, it will say continue for 6 miles. That's it. My wife will tell you, I'm wondering, I need to know where I'm going. So I'll push the button again. And I'll say, route summary. And it will say, there are 22 steps left. Let's say, would you like the next three? Okay. And if I'll say yes, and it'll give me the next three. And it'll say, would you like me to continue? And I keep saying yes, and I get to a point, and sometimes I'll say, I don't want to go that way. And I'll go another way. I know how to get there. I just wanted to see what they were going to say. Okay. And invariably, I'll go another way and run right smack into road construction and get mad at the sync system. They didn't tell me there was road construction. It's like, hello, you ain't supposed to be there. I didn't give you those directions. See, I'm making my choice based on very limited head knowledge. My sync system has a global satellite that sees everything that's going on along that path, and it's going to guide me accordingly. Because notice, one of the first things it said to me was fastest route based on traffic. Not the fastest route. Did you catch that? Okay? Because I'll listen to these instructions and say, that takes too long. It's faster to go that way. But the sync system knows that there was a traffic accident over here and there's a 2-hour backup. I don't know that. So I wind up in the backup and now I'm delayed. I stand a chance of missing my blessing because I'm not going the way I'm supposed to. I'm delayed because I'm stuck in traffic. And the system that was in place was designed to keep me from it. There's some of us that get stuck because we're not following the instructions given to us by the shepherd because it takes too long to get there. Or I've been this route. I know these roads. I could draw you a map. But you don't know what happened 2 hours ago. See, and if something unexpected should happen, my system gives me a choice. says, would you like to reroute? And I'm like, absolutely. And it will guide me through this unexpected, sudden obstacle. But I have to do something. I have to make a choice to listen to it. In John 10, Jesus said, beginning with verse 1, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the shepherd of the sheep, the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Doesn't tell them, get out. He leadeth them out. And when he had put forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. And the only reason they follow him is they know his voice. They know. They may not even see him because there may be so many sheep, but they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. So the question is, how can a pastor shepherd the sheep assigned to them if they have allowed the sheep to become familiar with too many voices? Just like what happened in our illustration. You know, you have all of this information, and all of it is accurate. But it's not, there's one part that's missing. It's not based on God's heart for you, based on where God knows you are. It's good information. But God will speak intimate things to the shepherd, to the pastor, about the sheep, so that they lead the sheep according to his instructions. We have to make sure that above all, we hear the voice of the shepherd. One of the things that I didn't get a revelation from God, so to speak, but it just was an understanding that was like just bang, it was just there. When I was appointed by Pastor Clinton and Sarah as the youth director, I was now part of ministry leadership. Some folks refer to it as the inner circle. You know, that I don't know why that phrase kind of creeps me out in a sense. You know, me, I'm part of leadership. And so I realized that everything that I did pointed back to them. So I would get invited places, and I would come to my shepherds and say, this is what's going on, and we were thinking about going. What do you think? And Pastor Sarah would say, well, you know, we can't control where you go. And I said, no, but wherever I go, when people, they don't recognize me because I'm such a great person. Most of them don't remember me as foots in basketball. They remember me as the youth director of Redeeming Love Christian Center. So if I show up anywhere, their assumption is it must be in line with what's taught at Redeeming Love Christian Center because I am part of the leadership. Otherwise, I wouldn't be there if they were in disagreement. And I told that, and they said, okay, we can see that. And I would ask because they know some things about situations that I don't know. But I left the choice up to them as to how, see, leadership is just an elevated position of ministry of helps. And if I'm going to be of help, I need to find out how they need me to help. I can't say, well, I think I can help them by doing such and such. No, I need to go and find out, how would you like me to help you in this matter? So if they shared something with me that wasn't quite pleasing with them, we made a choice not to go. And it got to the place where some folks just wouldn't even ask anymore. Because I would run things through the pastors. You say, yeah, but they're not controlling you. No, they weren't controlling me. I was choosing to submit to their leadership, to submit to their wisdom. I was willing to allow God to speak his heart to them concerning whether or not my wife and I should go a certain place to a certain meeting or whatever. That was my, God didn't tell me to do that. It's like a knowing just came up in me that this is right. Because if I went there and something went down that wasn't right, they're not going to say that, you know, Greg and Phyllis Carr were there. They were going to say, well, Redeeming Love Christian Center's leaders were there. The youth director was there. The wedding ministry coordinator was there. Their deacons were there. Their elders were there. See, we have to understand that. God speaks, wants you to have his heart. And he said, I'm going to give you pastors after my heart, and they're going to give you wisdom and understanding. And we have to allow them to do it. But you have to stick with directions that God gave you from his heart. Look at 1 Kings. And again, right? I think I need to say this before I read 1 Kings. I am talking about a principle, not a person. I'm talking about a principle, okay, not a person. But in 1 Kings 13, where do we want to start? This is about the young prophet that went and God told him a specific path to go, told him not to go back, not to stop and eat. You know, you could read all of 1 Kings and 13 and you can get it, but we're going to pick up at verse 6. It says, and the king answered and said to the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God and pray for me that my hand may be restored to me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him again and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And most people could go, yes, sir. Okay. Food and money? I'm going. And the man of God, I read it, but the man of God, but the word, the King James says, and the man of God said to the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For listen to what he said. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord. Who charged him? All right. Saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way and returned not by the way he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the words that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. The words which he had spoken unto the king, them they also told to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said to his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that cameth from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said to him, come home with me and eat bread. Now, he was already told by his sons that he had said, God told me not to do this. And he being, you know, the man of God, said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, everyone say, word of the Lord. See, he had a word directly from the Lord. Thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again and go by the way that thou camest. This is what the old prophet said. I am a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake to me by the word of the Lord. And I'm reading this, I'm saying, hold on here. And I didn't see this previously when I read this account. I was given a word directly from the Lord. If he wants to change it, why would he send a messenger? Why wouldn't he tell me himself? Why wouldn't he come back and say, no, no, I didn't want you to go back with that one, but it's okay to eat with him? Or why didn't the man of God say, Father, I know you told me not to go back, but another one of your prophets are here telling me that I should go with them. Is this okay? That didn't happen. He just took the word of this other prophet who the Bible says, but he lied to him. Bible said, doesn't say why. It just says that that older prophet lied. But see, what we have to understand, it doesn't matter what someone tells you is the word of God. You have the Holy Ghost in you. And you can go to God for yourself and find out, God, is this of you? Because I know what you said to me. Or, Father, I know what you had the pastors whom you gave me after your own heart say to me. Now, this is different. This is different. What is it that you want me to do? That didn't happen. He just took the word. Why? Maybe he was insecure in his own abilities. I don't know. Maybe he was in such awe that this older prophet would just search him out to talk to him. Maybe he felt that the man was going to give him a better, a more sure word. Whatever, we don't know, and the Bible's not saying, and I'm believing the Bible's not saying because none of that's important. I think the Bible is saying this because what's important is he wants you to know when he speaks to you, he means what he says, and if he's going to change something, he'll tell you himself. Okay? So he went back with him. If you read the end of the story, you find out it didn't turn out well for him. Because then the old prophet did speak the truth and told them, because you disobeyed God, you're going to die. In essence, you're going to die. See? Like, again, my question was, God, why didn't you come and tell him yourself that he missed it and you're going to die? God said, the Holy Ghost said to me, because he had already chosen that he was going to discount what I said, So the voice that he listened to is the voice that I use to let him know. You need to think about that. What's the sense of me telling him? I've already told him. And he chose to listen to another voice. So I'll use that same voice to let him know he'd be in trouble when all he had to do was stay true to the one who called him. We have to stay true to the one who called us. We have to stay true to where he placed us. We have to stay true to those things. Why? I don't know. I can't tell you why that's so important, other than God said, I will give you pastors after my heart. And my wife can attest to this. There's some parts of the heart of God that I ain't like. There's some parts, some things came from God's heart for me that I ain't want to hear. But I'd say to my wife, I can't just go around and say God gave me pastors after his own heart for me when they say the things that I like. Either they're the pastors after God's own heart for me, or they're not. And I can't say, well, yes, they are. I like this, and I'm just going to skip around because I'm happy. And then a hard saying comes from them. I didn't like it. When Pastor Sarah looked down at me over her glasses and said to me, you need to go to God and find out why you get so angry in the first place. I had just boasted how I had gotten angry and pulled everything under control. And I was just so full of me. And she so loved, I'm telling you, she was like, and I didn't like it. But I had to make a choice. Does this person represent God's heart for me? Yes. Then I got to take it and put it into operation. I took it and put it into operation, and we still married. If I hadn't taken it, we wouldn't be. I would have messed it all up with my macho madness and anger. I've been so busy being foots, I had to kick my own self out of the marriage. So we have to understand, folks, the key is we have to stick with what God said, period. We need to stay where God planted us, period. In John, I believe 15, Jesus said, I am the true vine. He said, what happens when you stay connected to the vine? See, when you are where God told you, when you remain where God planted you, you're connected to the vine. All right. Because the life-giving sustenance, whatever the right word is, that you need is in that vine. Where he planted you. God is not going to plant you any place where you starve to death. He's not going to plant you at some place where you won't be nourished. He's not going to do that. When God plants you someplace, everything that needs for you to thrive is there. You just need to make a choice to stay connected. I had several opportunities to uproot myself because my flesh didn't like some things. My ears didn't like some choices that it heard. And I would threaten to leave and go to work for Chestnut Ridge Transportation. I don't have to stay here. I'm a grown man. I got a brain. I'm smart. And people like me. I can have a good time driving a school bus. And I'll have the same schedule as my wife. So when she's off, I'm off. They call that, aside from being a fool, they call it rationalizing. Okay. And God said to me, so you're going to cause me to have to put that company out of business. And I'm like, put them out of business? He said, I have a plan for you. And if you're threatening to leave where I put you to go to this company, I'll put them out of business. And you'll be responsible for all those people losing their jobs. I'm like, I'm going to stay. I'm going to stay. I don't care what happens. I don't care what I may have to endure. God, I'm staying where you planted me, right? I mean, that's my choice. I didn't know that part of his plan was pastor. It's a good thing I didn't, because I'd probably taken a chance. But that's why God doesn't tell us every single step. That's why he doesn't always show us the outcome. He tells us that it's going to be good, but he doesn't tell us exactly what it's going to be, because we may not like it and we'll change. But if we just walk and God says, okay, take another step and turn left, you take another step, you turn left, and you just start walking. And then you hear, ding, and half a mile, bear right. You get to half a mile, you bear right. And you keep going until you hear, ding, okay. And he will guide you like that. And the next thing you know, you're right smack in the middle of his perfect will. And you'll realize, because you were so focused on listening to his instructions and not complaining about the condition of the roadway, you had a good time. Just this moment, God said to me, that's what I was trying to get you to understand when I told you to drive to Orlando. Didn't make any sense. Much, much faster getting on a plane nonstop right to Orlando. Just now, as I was sharing with you, he said, that's what I was trying to show you. You just go step by step the way I tell you. How did you enjoy the ride? We had a great time. A great time. Even a better time coming back. But we had to take his step by step instructions. And so do all of you. They may not always make sense, folks. You may not always understand them. But what you need to have settled is that it's all from God. It's all from God. I'm going to wrap up. We know what it says in Proverbs 3, in all your ways acknowledge him, and what will he do? Direct your path. All right, he's going to direct your path. He's going to illumine the path as you go. Because as you go in faith, you are acknowledging that he is God. So as you go, you may not only see a few steps in front of you. That's okay. Just when you get to what you think is a dark spot, all of a sudden, it'll be a light. It'll be a big sign. Go this way. And you just go. But I'm going to close with Psalm 119. First 8 verses. It's in the Message Bible. And then I'm through. Psalm, what did I say? Okay. Want to make sure. Psalm 119. This is a Message Bible. It says, you're blessed when you stay on course. Say that with me. You're blessed when you stay on course. See? It says, walking steadily on the road revealed by God. You're blessed when you follow his directions, doing your best to find him. That's right. You don't go off on your own. You walk straight along the road he set. Then turning to God, you, God, prescribed the right way to live. Now you expect us to live it. Oh, that my steps might be steady, keeping to the course you set. Then I'd never have any regrets in comparing my life with your counsel. I thank you for speaking straight from your heart. I learn the pattern of your righteous ways. It's so important, folks, that we understand the pattern in which God works. And it's really not that hard. It's a revelation that my wife got when we were in Israel. God said to her, you guys make this complicated. What do you say? All you need is... Wait a minute.
He said it's very simple. He said all you need is your Bible and your pastor and the Holy Spirit. He said you make it complicated.
Well, we're walking through Israel in 1993 or 2, the year we were all blue. 94? In the 90s. Okay. Yeah, she was on the bus. See, we were going on, we were on the Jerusalem-Jericho road. Now, the Jerusalem-Jericho road was probably from that pew to here. Okay. And it's a two-lane street. Road. On this side was no guardrail. It was a straight drop of about at least 1,000 feet. I have a window seat. I look out the window and I see nothing but air. I'm looking out the window at the bus in front of us because it's making a curve. As it's curving, the wheels are on the road, part of the bus is off the road. Okay. Now, they're not driving along at 1 mile an hour. They're just... And then one of the most frightening things I ever saw, there was another bus coming in the other opposite direction. And I'm like, Pastor Clinton. I mean, some folks were screaming. Somebody was on the floor, banging on the back door saying, let me out, let me out. I'm serious. And Pastor Clinton got up, looked at everyone. Everyone got quiet, and he said, let us pray. And I'm thinking, if my pastor can get up and have that kind of attitude and that kind of levity, what am I concerned about? Why? I looked as a sheep, and the shepherd was in place and wasn't perplexed. All of my anxiety left. And I actually started enjoying looking out the window, not seeing anything. Why? Because my shepherd didn't show any fear, any concern, any trepidation, nothing. Nothing. I thank you for speaking straight from your heart. I learned the pattern of your righteous ways. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Don't ever walk off and leave me. Folks, God is never going to walk off and leave us, and we're never going to walk off and leave you. We have the honor of being assigned as your pastors, and it is a privilege to serve you, and we're going to be here until God says differently. I'm done. Father, we thank you. You make things so plain, make it so simple. You have a heart for each of us. And to make sure that we get it, you put us in various sheepfolds and then gave us pastors after your heart. We're not going to take that lightly. We understand, Lord, that you are the one with the plan for our lives. And you told us all we need to know about it. It's a plan to prosper us and not harm us. It's a plan to give us hope and a future. And all we need to do is stay true to whose we are. We're yours. And where you planted us, right here. And trust that the pastors that you gave us and the leaders they assign are all from your heart. Help us to hear clearly. Help us to become familiar only with the voice of our shepherd. Teach us, Lord, how to obey those promptings that come up in us that makes us feel like something may not quite be right. Show us the difference. Or, Lord, really, it might be better to say, teach us to discern the difference between your prompting and pride and ego. Because sometimes we will put down your promptings because we think we're trying to puff ourselves up. Show us the difference, Lord, because we're going to stumble no more. We thank you for your word, and we thank you again for loving us, for protecting us, and for keeping us. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.